Hello there, Dunder Mifflinites, and welcome back to another episode of The Office ASMR, a sleepy time podcast to enjoy while you fall asleep. Tonight we have a super-sized episode for you. This is also a very, maybe not pivotal, but it's a very notable episode in the whole series. This is Stress Relief. This is Season 5, Episode both 14 and 15, and the reason it is such a pivotal episode, when you talk about core memories, I don't know if you also enjoy the incredible Pixar film Inside Out. I can remember when this episode aired, it was such a big deal that The Office was coming after the Super Bowl. And I think this is, you know, at this point, we're in season five. I think, you know, between the Golden Globes and the Emmys, you know, The Office was a cultural, and this may have taken it from a cultural touchstone to a cultural phenomenon. Like, this is what took it to everybody else. And I think this was the most viewed, anything after the Super Bowl is going to be the most viewed episode, so I think that data would be skewed. I think the notable thing is, it's also, like, when you look at either highlight reels or clips or anything, like, there are, not only are there notable parts from the intro, when, you know, Dwight's going to be doing his safety seminar, but then it also has the CPR one, and the CPR one is generally noted as one of the funniest sequences, not only in The Office, but, like, in television. It's just incredible. So, this episode, like I said, originally aired after Super Bowl, what is February 1st, 2009. And directed by Jeffrey Blitz. So this is, it's two full episodes. Episode 14 and 15, both directed by Jeffrey Blitz, both written by Paul Lieberstein, our buddy Toby there. And it also notably has guest roles for Jack Black, Jessica Alba, and Cloris Leachman, who play actors in a bootleg movie that Andy downloads. So, I think this will be a very good one to, I'm excited to hear some of the behind the scenes of this on Office Ladies. I think I've also talked about Brian Baumgartner's podcast. And you know, why do the Office Ladies replay old episodes? They put an old episode in their feed, and it's like, don't you have enough episodes to talk about, gals? I don't know. Podcasts run by big companies drive me crazy. I've been listening to podcasts since 2008. Whatever. Office Ladies, just post new stuff. It's not like there's not enough content for you to talk about. No shade, though. I hope everybody is cozy, relaxed, and ready to settle in. We're going to get the episode started here. Make sure you have your sleep timer set. On another note, just as we dive in here, thank you to everybody who, I've been getting messages from people who are going back through the back catalog, and, or, you know, people just discovered the show, and they're just getting, there's a lost episode in my feed. And it is, I'm blanking on the name. It's the one where they go and they do the karate. What episode? What that? It's like season two. And so I get your DMs. I don't have that episode. I'm going to re-record it and update that. So thank you so much, as always. And it seems like we've pretty much settled on, you know, 25-minute episodes as the, you know, the best. I have I've looked into the producer's cuts of the episodes, because that'll extend it a little bit. You know, they have, like, the deleted scenes and everything. But, you know, I'm always looking for ways to improve the show, make it better, make it more cozy and more whatever you want to call it. I always appreciate your feedback. The iTunes reviews, the DMs, the just tweets, I love it. So, thank you so much. It is the reason that I continue to do this, because I love to help you. I love to help people not just get their sleep, but, like, we're both enjoying, you know, the office. I think it's nice. This is, I would love to say this is the longest and most consistent I've been with almost anything, but I did miss that month back in, like, November, so it's crazy. It's been 18 months since I started this, and we're on season 5. I'm gonna get into the weird stuff pretty soon here, but without further ado, let's get into stress relief. We start off with Pam at her desk, heading over. Oh, I had to start over. There we go. Pam heads over. Looks like she's going to the kitchen. We got Dwight, eyeing the camera, opens up a drawer to a rag with lighter fluid, and he locks the door. This is like the hallway door. Hammer and heats up the handle. PowerPoint is boring. People learn in lots of different ways. Now he's putting shunts under the door. Cigarette. Today, smoking is going to save lives, as he drops it into the burning bucket and an entire can of lighter fluid. That's no joke. We got Jim and Andy at their desk, and smoke coming through the door in the back corner. Anyone smell anything smoky? Did you bring your jerky in again? Pam looks over. Oh my god. Pam doesn't say anything, but Stanley says, fire! The phones are dead. Dwight says, oh, out of the air. Oh my god, it's happening. It's happening. Everybody stay calm. Stay fucking calm. Michael screaming, touch the handle. If it's hot, there's a fire in the hallway. What does warm mean? Oh, everybody's concerned. Wait, is Meredith holding Uggs? What the? How's the handle? It's warm. Now everybody's stampeding to different doors of the office. Leave it, woman. They run through the kitchen. Human lives cannot. Oh, he runs back. Oh, it's hot. Now they're locked. We're trapped. Everyone for themselves, says Michael. Kevin runs through the kitchen and knocks the camera guy over. Have you ever seen a burn victim? Procedure. Angela opens up her drawer to get Bandit. Oscar climbs up into the ceiling. The whole time, Dwight's just saying, he's just narrating safety things. Pull me up. I only weigh 82 pounds. Save Bandit. Throws a cat. Cat comes through the other side. Michael rips down blinds and throws a chair at the window. Kevin breaks the vending machine. He's stuffing his pockets. Use the surge of fear and adrenaline to sharpen your decision making. Jim says, I'm not dying. Right as Dwight lights firecrackers, and Andy says, the fire is shooting us. Now, that's like a Oscar's feet come to the ceiling. I wonder. The copier, oh my god. Now Dwight does the horn. I wonder if it is a, if it's like a Titanic callback, but like that little scene with Jim where he says, I'm not dying here, and then he grabs the copier and rams it into the door. That is so Jack Dawson from Titanic. And then, yeah, at the same time, Oscar's feet come to the floor. Michael throws a projector into the window. And that's when Dwight, you know, calls it off. So Stanley just passed out. Obama's president, you are black, Stanley. Michael tries to put a wallet in his mouth to stop him from choking on his own tongue. And everybody pulls him off right at the last minute. So the chaos happened. And, wow. Oh, look at that. So this is a different intro. This is a totally, I mean, the initial intro is, you know, normal, but they threw in a scene of Andy. They threw in a couple extra scenes with their characters. Now we're with David Wallace in New York. How could you possibly think this is a good idea? I did not kill anyone. Stanley was attacked by his own heart. Did you shout fire? I shouted many things. And instructions. When nobody would heed of, heeded of, headed of, heed. That's a very, what's funny about that, there's an exchange between Michael and Dwight about heeded, headed of. That's a very Paul Lieberstein thing. Paul Lieberstein, like, the episode where they're talking about, you know, which is the object of the verb, you know, like that sort of thing. That was a Paul Lieberstein thing. Writers. So Michael gets up and he looks out and says, the city. Dwight, we're not mad, we're just disappointed. David Wallace says, no, we're mad. We're living. We're going to let this one slide. I'm not a mind reader, David. This is a very serious offense. Michael has flipped to the table. What I think we should do is strip you of your title of safety man officer. Part of his pay is donated to a charity of your choice, like something you don't like PETA. Michael, take responsibility. Do you want that on your conscience? Dwight says, do you? What? Well. It always amuses me. We're back in the car. It amuses me when corporate thinks they can change something in a fancy high-rise and a couple of lawyers. Michael is worried. A man's life is in my hands. I am planning a bomb scare that should really get the blood pumping. Michael is taking over a safety man. I think this is also an interesting episode for Dwight as a character. Like, even this, just that exchange where Dwight says, like, you know, you don't know much. It's like there's always that bubbling. So Michael's explaining, like, you don't want to die in the office. This is a talking head of just Michael. The office is a place where dreams come true. We have a welcome back Stanley, and everybody's whispering. But it, like, just as far as Dwight as a character, there's a weird balance in the show where Dwight is super knowledgeable and capable as a person, survivalist. But especially in the early seasons, Dwight is just undying loyalty to Michael, and he puts that ahead of his capabilities. And then you get a glimpse in the show of Dwight in his power grab or attempt to grab power when he goes over Michael's head. And then, you know, later episodes or later seasons is when he starts to actually just be a little more egotistical, cocky, and powerful. But he never quite gets that power until the end of the, you know, season 9. But that glimpse right there is an interesting turning point, because it like coincides with the rise and the Michael leaving and everything. So we just saw the CPR training person. Michael tried to get the CPR practice dummy, but couldn't without the instructor. He says the CPR is a racket. Kevin can't do the pumping for more than 20 seconds. Absolutely, I would not. Alright, Stanley, Michael volunteers Stanley. No rest for the sick. Michael says, look, we're not always going to be there to coddle your heart back. What are you going to do by yourself? I would die. I'm okay with the logic. No, no, no. So he gets him up out of the chair. I would quit, but I'm too old to find a new job. I don't have enough money saved for a retire. I'm working in my own casket. Come on, you're losing, you, Stanley. Alright. He'll show you. So now Michael gets down to do the CPR. Assessing the situation. Are they breathing? No, Rose. They're not breathing, and they have no arms and no legs. Where are they? If you come across somebody with no arms or legs, are they bother resuscitating? What kind of quality of life do we have there? No arms and no legs is basically how you live now, Kevin. Michael's doing, he's like doing very fast pumps. And you do how many beats per minute? How many beats is that per hour? I will divide and count to it. Pump the tune of staying alive. Okay, yes. At first I was afraid. I was petrified. No. Staying alive. Staying alive. Creed, you were in the parking lot. That's how I knew you. Staying alive. Staying alive. Andy chimes in. Staying alive. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Kelly stands up to dance. Dancing, dancing. Michael's now dancing. You got the three of them jamming. The CPR lady's like, oh my goodness. Oh, Creed's going. No, 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 staying alive. Staying alive. Even Dwight is like jamming. Alright, you didn't maintain. And they didn't call 911, so you lost them. Anyone know what we do next? Says Dwight. Rose. We bury him. And organ donor card. If so, you only have minutes to harvest. Creed says, no wallet, I checked. Dwight gets the knife. Cuts through the chest with a pretty big knife. We search for the organs. Stanley's got to sit down, and he's down. That's when Dwight turns around with the face on the dummy. What? David, I didn't think it was realistic in the movie. It cost us $3,500. Okay, look. This is why we have training. We just start with a dummy. Now Dwight knows not to cut the face off of a person. So I think with that, that's like the apex of this episode. Because now we're just starting back in the break room with Jim and Pam. I mean, that is an incredible 13 minutes of television. Because you go from... Because the other thing, too, is both of those scenes, both of those iconic scenes are universal. You don't need to know anything about the characters to enjoy them. Pam and Jim are explaining that they don't know how to get illegal movies because they're honest working people and they don't know how. But the whole premise here is that they're watching a bootlegged movie, Mrs. Hannity, with Jack Black, Jessica Alba, and Gloris Leachman. That's where the Hall & Oates song is. I couldn't remember where I was like, oh, there's a Hall & Oates song in here? And Andy makes really bad popcorn with the other thing. But both of those scenes are so universal. You don't need to know. I mean, you also understand from that, from the way that happens, like, Dwight is a stickler, you know, safety, all that stuff. It's like, those are just character traits you pick up on in those scenes. But then same thing with the CPR scene. It's like, that's just a universally funny scene. You don't have to know anything about the characters. But then both of them have the added benefits, if you do know the characters, of understanding the dynamic at play between the whole group. And so I think that's great. Kudos, Paul Lieberstein. Not like you need my validation. Jim and Pam are like movie geniuses. They're catching things that are going right over my head. Because what's happening is, as they're watching the bootleg movie with Andy, there's like a drama between Jim and Pam. Or Pam's parents, I guess. Pam's dad is staying with them, I believe, is what's happening. And so they're like chatting about it in the background, but their life situation is nearly parallel to the movie that they're watching, and so Andy thinks that they're picking up on, you know, crazy things in the movies. So now Dwight is back from corporate and must apologize to everybody, and everybody must sign a paper acknowledging that they heard his apology. Yeah, right. I filled Stanley full of butter and sugar for 50 years and forced him not to exercise. Make a line right here. Nobody's willing to sign it, even with him yelling at everybody. Pam gets a call at the front desk. Hey, Dad. Just use our bathroom. Next scene of the bootleg movie. She's in the bathroom. And now they're all three of them are watching in the conference room. I didn't realize you were in the bath. Jack Black. Do you want me to go? I want you to stay. Now you have a pretty awkward scene with coworkers. Lily was supposed to be a Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman dropped out with a small rewrite. You got Jack Black putting on a robe for her. Pam seems very bothered during the scene. They were talking over breakfast. Andy's like, what? And now Jack Black making out with Gloris Leachman. And the soup. He doesn't share it with his daughter. But he shares with his daughter's fiance. Andy's very confused. Did my dad say anything about my mom? Did just him and Pam back in the kitchen now. What? Maybe he'll talk to you about some of this stuff, because he can't talk to me about it. This is setting up one of the best Jim and Pam scenes in the show. A very quiet, very subtle scene that I will probably cry through, so there you have it. You'll probably be asleep, so you don't have to hear it. Oh, everybody sits down with Meredith with your knees together. Nobody wants to see that. Michael wants to create a quiet environment for Stanley Hudson. Hear some downloaded peaceful sounds. He's playing "That One Makes Me Think of Death." Yeah. Kind of nice. Now everybody laying down in the conference room. It's a beautiful sunny day. It is very spiritual, relaxing. It is sunny and beautiful now. A castle. Don't open your eyes as Pam looks directly at his crotch. Inside the castle are four men. None of them have shoes. They give you a funny cigarette, and you're relaxed, and you have ice cream. You want a big bowl of ice cream. Chunky Monkey. Too expensive. Chocolate. Racism's dead, Stanley. There's a beeping. Stanley has a heart feedback machine that beeps when his stress levels are rising. It's beeping. And Michael is confused. Meredith wants to try and get him some water. Michael steps back and the beeping goes down. Everybody's like, "Well." Oscar and Jim are both like, "Well, pretty clear, Michael. I think that thing is on the fritz. Can you reach over and touch this thing?" That's what he said, because gay. Alright. Now, Oscar is beeping too when Michael's close. Michael, you're what's stressing everybody out. It wasn't Dwight after all. I am the killer. You never expect that you're the killer. That's a great twist. We have Pam up at reception. "Hey, Mom." She is now concerned. "What did Dad say?" Jim, back in the kitchen. "What did you say to my dad?" "After you talked, he said he was going to look for an apartment." Jim's like, nothing. I was honest with him. "I don't know." Jim is a deer in headlights. And Pam is upset. 50% of marriages end in divorce. It was her parents or my parents. Weird smile. What could Jim have said to make my dad leave my mom? And when is he going to say it to me? Am I in our marriage? Now you have Michael drinking a tiny, tiny alcohol bottle, sharing with Dwight. "Nothing stresses me out except having to seek the approval of my inferiors. Speaking of which..." Oh, and then he gets Michael to sign his document. "You remember when," and now we have just Michael, "do you remember when boss meant cool? Those shoulder pads are really boss, man." that perm is so boss. It's what made me want to become a boss. I look so good in a perm and shoulder pads. Now boss is slang for jerk in charge. Michael has figured it out. You are too intimidated to tell me what you really think. Jim's like, no. No, man, that's not it. Solution is honesty, laughter, and comedy. Oh, is this the roast? Oh, wow. Okay, so now we've got three iconic scenes or stories in this episode, because the roast is also, I mean, very giftable. But I think at this point too, if you're cold to the show, you very much get a sense of the dynamic between the group, and that one you do kind of need for the roast. Not just how everybody feels about Michael, but how each of the characters can end up expressing themselves. Michael says, I don't want to write your stuff, it's going to be good. Kevin talking head is like, huh. Oscar, I consider myself a good person, but I'm going to try and make him cry. We get everybody writing. I can feel everybody's stress just melting away. I've got to make sure that YouTube comes to tape this. Boom. Now we have Dwight sign in on the sign-in sheet. If you do not sign in, your name will not be counted. Phyllis catches that it's the apology letter. Welcome, 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 welcome. You're all jerks. Everybody has little tables set up, and there's really bad pixelated old picture of Michael. We all know how these work. I'm gonna sit right over chair. And I love that the baler is in the background. Lower the mic for Angela. If you ever wondered whether you're Michael Scott, here's ways to tell. If you ever put sunblock on a window, you might be Michael Scott. I don't enjoy making people laugh, says Angela. If you ever call the fire department because your head's stuck in a chair, you might be Michael Scott. There's like a nice, a cute scene there where it's the back of Angela with Dwight looking at her very endearingly. Kelly has a list of people that she would make out with before Michael. A turtle, a fridge, anybody from the warehouse, Kevin, a candle, and Lord Voldemort. Happy birthday, Michael. Michael, Meredith, this is Meredith. You ran over me with your car. You posted a picture of my bear boobs. Gross. Michael, you are the reason I drink. You are the reason I live to forget. And Michael gives her finger guns. Now I have Oscar yelling in Spanish. I don't know what he says. I'm going to look it up. Michael tells Toby, friends only. Way beyond my vocabulary. Spider face? Cut off her nose, the spider face. Michael, Dwight is like, no, no. How dare you attack him? You should be bowing down in front of him. Idiot, idiot, idiot. Are you calling me an idiot? Says Dwight. You never talk to me, you pathetic, short little man. You don't have friends, family, or any land. Roast. Everybody's like, yeah, Dwight. Pam wants to talk to everyone, something not very serious. There, every so many minutes, the Nigerian princesses, forgive me for caring, okay? Michael is a great delegator. He never does any of his own work. I walked in on him on naked, and his thing is so small. Mike was like, if it were an iPod, it would be a shuffle. Super burn. Usually the roaster will say something nice about the person, about how much they love them. Just keep that in mind. Daryl says, hey, look, we're all a family, right? What's his name? All the way in the back. Roy. Roy left years ago. Michael, I gave you a ride home last week. Jefferson. No. His name is Michael. And Michael does, he hits a little snare. Alright, Andy. What I hate about you. You really suck as a boss. You're the neesiest, jerkiest, duller than applesauce. It's what I hate about you. What I hate about you. The whole warehouse singing along and chanting. That one really sinks in with Michael. Yeah. He's very bothered. A man who deserves no introduction. Oh my god, this is boom roasted. Listen, this is a banger of an episode. Great job, everybody. Great laughs. Really went after my intelligence. Online IQ tests would prove you wrong. My thing isn't tiny, it's average. Get your facts straight. When I heard there was going to be a roast, I thought, he's not handling this well. He can't get through it. Phyllis and Kevin. Everybody's realizing. Oh, he knocks the drum over. And he's out. Steve has such a great way of physical expression. Now we're back at reception. Michael is not there. Takes a message for him, and that's another post-it note. It's very unusual for Michael not to show up for work. He's either deeply depressed, or an icicle fell off his roof and stabbed his brain. He stares up at them. I say, Michael, take two steps back, and I stare at it from the side. He likes the way I look underneath the icicle. Kevin has a sock puppet. He tries to list M&Ms in alphabetical order. I think I'm almost done. Oscar says, that reeks, and I try to eat. Personnel day. Are we hiring? I think he meant personal day. Phyllis feels bad. He just sent a text. What's a text, says Creed. Michael is out at a playground. And clearly there's some snow and it's winter. And he's throwing out whole slices of bread, saying, caw, caw, caw. It's a very unique look for Michael. He's wearing a turtleneck and like an overcoat with some jeans. Michael says, look, there's a space. You know, he feels sorry for me because he has incredibly powerful microscope and he can see my face. I'm okay. Dwight was right. Deeply depressed. There is a package for Phyllis. There you go. And it turns out that the paper was on a fishing line to Dwight. And he got the last signature. And now Andy's back finishing the movie on his own. And Andy is crying in the break room on his own, because in the movie, Gloris Leachman is heading up a very slow stair, chair. Andy's very invested, clearly. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what your mom thinks. She's not making any sense. Please move back to my apartment. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Oh, she can't go down or up. Jack Black is not giving up. Nope, she's going up. Press the reverse button. Sam, Andy's very upset. We got Pam answering her phone. Hey, Dad. Yeah. Now we got Pam. Pam is outside talking to her dad in the parking lot. You get Jim checking up on her just to see if everything's okay. And then Jim comes out to meet her at the elevator. Pam's really upset. It wasn't my fault. Pam says, yeah. For a second, you want to spend the rest of your life with me. You never felt that with my mom, even at their best. When you're a kid, you assume your parents are soulmates. My kids will be right about that. It also means that sometimes love affairs look different to the people inside them. And then you get, and at that point, Andy in the background is like, what? And he says, look, I don't have what it takes to be a movie critic. That muffin is bad. That cake is bad. Now we got Michael. Why are you wearing a turtleneck? Michael's like, hey, everything's okay. I spent the afternoon in the park. All the birds flew west for the winter. Here's some thoughts for you people. I wrote them down. Jim, you're 6'11". You weigh 90 pounds. Gumby has a better body than you. Boom, roasted. Dwight, you're a kiss ass. Boom, roasted. Pam failed art school. Meredith, you slept with so many guys, you're starting to look like one. Boom, roasted. A fat joke and a dumb joke. Boom, roasted. Creed, breath stinks. Angela, I didn't see you behind that grain of rice. Stanley, you crush your wife during sex and your heart sucks. Boom, roasted. Stanley finds that very funny. Oscar, you're gay. Cornell called you suck. You're gayer than Oscar. Boom, roasted. And everyone enjoyed that one. You know I kid. You're the reason I went into the paper business, so good night, God bless, and get home safe. And he heads into his office. They say that laughter is the best medicine, so Stanley, throw away those pills. Actually, hang on to the pills just in case. Oh, and then you have a post, ending scene where Jack Black takes some flowers to Gloris Leachman, and there's another younger guy in the room with her, and he spots it through the window. And he is completely broken. She even looks at him. And then you get the flowers that drop. He's complete. He's a broken man. I think the bow tie was bad luck anyway, so. And that'll do it for this supersized episode of The Office and Stress Relief. Thank you so much. I will see you in the next one. We actually have a longer episode coming up, right? We have the lecture circuit. Oh, it's two separate episodes. Okay. Oh, we have coming up, we have Charles Minor. Then we have the Michael Scott Paper Company. Wow, we acquaint the rest of the season here. So that'll do it for tonight. Good night. Sleep tight.